Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Across from me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Get all of his picks, fatjacksports.com. Get signed up today, fatjacksports.com. Get all of Jordan's picks, the NFL, college football postseason is upon us, as well as the NBA, and some EPL picks from Fat Jack right there. Jordan, how was your Thanksgiving after our little hiatus here?
A little bit of a hiatus. Took the family down to South Florida. It was fun to get out of Dodge for a couple of days, enjoy that nice weather, see family, see friends. And now we're back. 2 weeks left in the UFC schedule, so two more events before we close out 2024. But more importantly, you're listening here on Wednesday. Happy birthday,
Adam Abdallah. Oh, thank you. Yes, it is my birthday. Thank you.
That's all that's necessary. Didn't we talk about the survey that came out that, like, okay, so our company does a survey, you like answer a bunch of questions,
yeah,
your birthday and stuff like,
yeah,
that, your favorite foods,
like, yeah,
is water wet,
yeah,
favorite movie quotes.
Yeah.
Didn't you make fun of me because I put together like a shirt that I was topless in?
Yes.
Okay, you didn't have as good of
No, I put a picture of my daughter, and I put a much better picture than your picture.
But
no one
had,
wants to see me. People see enough of me.
Okay, here's the thing. What got more react in the office, me or you? Me.
Okay,
I win.
But it was a bad reaction.
It was a reaction.
Yeah, but not all press is good press.
In this case, for me, it was good.
I think more people wanted to see a picture of my daughter dressed as a lion from
Which
Halloween.
Which was very, very cute.
Thank you.
The
then wanted well to see you shirtless, no offense.
That's fine.
Like, you're in good shape. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with seeing you with your shirt off, but, like, we do work in an office.
It's true. It's funny I didn't get a PR call or a HR call or anything
like
that.
Well, it's still a radio station, but it is an office. You know what I mean?
It's also awkward. We're recording this today. We're in our State Street studios downtown on State Street. It's the first time we've ever done it. But weirdly, I'm not facing you.
Well, you're working on a different microphone.
My back is to you.
I mean, you could flip around if you wanted to.
I don't want to alter anything. Like, it took like 15 minutes to get this going.
We don't need people to know that about difficulties
talking
of facing
about it.
Us.
I think it's important.
Now you know how it feels to be us, though. How does the shoe feel on the other foot now that you're in the State Street studio, now that you are in the cage for all the people to see as the zoo animal?
I'm getting looks like one of every six people that walks by.
Welcome to our world. Just wait till someone throws something at you.
Wait, do people throw things at you?
I can show you the mark where someone threw a brick at the glass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of glass to get through. There's two panes.
We've been told
there.
It's bulletproof. We've never tested the theory.
Well, let's not do that.
Yeah,
let's
but
not
we've
encourage
been,
that
we've
to
been
happen.
Told that it's bulletproof.
God, people don't need to know that I'm down here, though, with my picks lately.
Well, I mean, let's get off. Let's start the holiday season then off on the right foot. UFC 310 here this weekend in Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. This was supposed to be a big fight card for us here in Chicago, as this was supposed to be Bilal Muhammad's first title defense against Shavkat Rakhmonov. Obviously, Bilal Muhammad injured his toe. He had like a bone infection in his foot. He has returned to training this week, so I don't know what that means as far as how long he'll need to train, what UFC pay-per-view he'll be on. Defending his title against, we assume, based on the odds, it's going to be Shavkat Rakhmonov again, the winner of this fight between him and Ian Machado Gary here. So we'll get into that fight in a little bit, but this fight card now off to a different start than it should have been leading into the holiday season here.
You're right. It's not top heavy. It doesn't have those mainstream, you know, big title fight implications. Say what you want about UFC 309. It was headlined by John Jones, and you know, co-headlined by Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler. That's a big fucking deal. This doesn't have that, but I would equate this to like the Maui tournament. We're talking, it's Thanksgiving, college hoops, you know, is going on right now. Like, it had a bunch of great teams. This has, top to bottom, probably the best card of the year from a fight standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Competitive fights, notable names, 14 deep. I'm amped for this fight card. Won't be watching it. Going out to celebrate my brother's birthday. But
oh, happy birthday to your brother.
Yeah,
it's a birthday month
week.
Twins.
Sure.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'm excited for it. And I definitely see in the fights that we're going to break down and talk about some opportunity to make some money.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll just go through a couple of these real quick. We do get a guy from Chicago. Clay Guida is fighting in the early prelims. Not the prelims, the early prelims.
Yeah.
He is 7-1 odds against minus 1,300 Chase Hooper. This should be done with quickly, it seems like. But Clay Guida's got a, you know, what do they, he's got a good chin. So we'll see how long this one lasts, but it's probably going to be a loss for Clay Guida.
He has a good chin. And, you know, if he relies on his wrestling and he pushes the cardio and he does what he's supposed to do, and that's be a man. Like, he's over 40 now, and that's kind of like what these guys that are still competing at the highest level rely on. And Chase Hooper has been out-physicaled in fights before that have led to some of his losses. And Clay Guida can certainly take that game plan and try and orchestrate it. I think it'll be a precarious position if this fight does go to the ground, because Chase Hooper is well-versed there. He's a very good savant, submission artist, and he's coming to in his own. You know, he's maturing into his body. I think he debuted at like 20 years old or 19 years old in the UFC. He wasn't ready to fight at this level. Now he's been around the block in a few fights. So I don't agree with the odds. This is certainly dog or pass for me at those odds. And Chase Hooper's not a guy that's going to threaten Guida from a stand-up standpoint. So this will be a grappling fest. It likely is going to go Hooper via decision. So if you want to really bring those odds down, an 11-1 favorite, that would be the prop that I would look to. Or if you're feeling lucky, feeling spicy, quite Guida on the money line at plus 750.
All
right. Let's go with that.
All right. Another fight I want to look at just because it's near and dear to my heart. Eric Anders is the Roll Tide.
Your boy.
Former Alabama football player against Chris Weidman. This fight was supposed to take place at UFC 309. It was canceled. So now we get it for UFC 310. And this one actually has really good, the odds are pretty split evenly here at basically a pick 'em for this fight. So this one should be a good one.
Well, here's what happened. When they were supposed to fight at UFC 309, the odds opened up and Eric Anders was about $1.80 favorite. The odds came down. Money started pouring in on the All-American Chris Weidman, and they ended up, before Anders pulled out of the fight, day of the fight, at the where they currently sit right now, where Weidman is a virtual pick-em, maybe a small favorite. Money, you know, coming to come in on him. We liked Anders on the fight. I liked him because I didn't feel like physically and athletically, Weidman is anywhere close to where he was when he was the UFC middleweight champion of the world. I don't think that he could push the cardio at the pace that he once did. And albeit he could definitely rely on his All-American background as a wrestler at Hofstra and maybe take down Anders, I just think Anders is a bigger guy. He's fought at 205 before. He's an athlete, still at 36 years of age. So I was on Eric Anders at the $1.40 price that we talked about on the podcast. I'm on it again. Like, I don't, the only thing I guess I would worry about is like, what was the illness? What was the reason that he had to pull out of the fight day of, or he wasn't medically cleared for it? So this will likely be a fight that I'm going to wait until I see what both guys look like on the scale before I make an actual play on Eric Anders. But there isn't anything from a stylistic matchup, Abdallah, that would say that Eric Anders shouldn't, again, be the pick that I have faith in to win the fight.
All right, and then if I'm skipping any fights, please let me know, because I'm just going through these prelims pretty quickly here. Aljamain Sterling, someone that we've talked about a lot, is a plus 210 underdog to Movsar Evloev. This fight was, again, this was supposed to take place at UFC 307 back in October, and now gets on the card here 3 months later for UFC 310. What do you think of this one?
I mean, everybody's high on Evloev. You know, Evloev, he's undefeated, 18-0. He's handled every single fight that's been put in front of him, and it's not anybody to bat your eyes at. You know, Diego Lopez is on that hit list, even though Lopez took that fight on short notice and went three rounds with Evloev. But Arnold Allen's on that list. Hakeem Duwadu is on that list. This will be a grappling exchange. And I think the thing that you, if you're on the Aljamain Sterling side, you're relying on his quirkiness, his unorthodox approach to grappling and wrestling. He's looked good now that he's jumped up to 145 pounds. He's not killing his body when he was the 135-pound champion of the world. I think this is also maybe in a similar context to Guida and Hooper, it's dog or pass. Ilyev is just too big of a favorite for me to believe. He probably wins a fight. I think he's the better fighter. I think that he is a future, like, kind of dark horse title challenger. He's probably going to have to do a little bit more because he's just taking the Khabib Nurmagomedov route, you know, Abdallah, like, just out grappling people, taking them down, controlling the fights. But I think this is a unique challenge for Aljamain Sterling. I'll also never bat an eye at the camp that Aljamain Sterling comes from because I love Ray Longo, Matt Serra. It's going to behoove them because they're going to also be cornering Chris Weidman at come fight night. So dog or pass for me on this one.
All right, the next one I want to look at, mostly because of the person that canceled on this fight, Vicente Luque against Themba Gourinbo. Vicente Luque was supposed to fight Nick Diaz in August at the UFC on ABC event, and then that was canceled. He was supposed to fight Vicente Luque this weekend, and that was canceled, and now Themba Gourinbo steps in for Vicente Luque, someone we've seen fight quite often the last couple years.
Yeah, up until August of 2021, you know, Vicente Luque was a dark horse contender in the welterweight division, a guy that just was in war after war, great Muay Thai, good submissions, chin of granite, like war after war, walking through stuff. Then Belal Muhammad like just ragdolled him for five rounds in a unanimous decision, dominant victory for the current UFC welterweight champion of the world. Then the wheels came off. Vicente Luque got knocked out by a heavy hitter in Jeff Neal, and then two fights later he gets knocked out by Joaquin Buckley. So what Vicente Luque relied on, his toughness, that granite chin, no longer exists. And now he's going into a fight not against a shopworn Nick Diaz, who should never even consider fighting again, against Themba Gourinbo, who is a tank of a fighter in the UFC welterweight division. Gourinbo takes the fight on short notice, and he's a dour 80 favorite, like sizable, strong betting favorite. And grappling's not going to be on Luque's side because I think he'd have a difficult time taking Gourinbo down. Gourinbo has evolved. Every time he steps into the octagon, he looks like he's a better fighter. I'm seeing Gourinbo knocking out Vicente Luque.
Ooh,
so I think we get a finish. I love Vicente Luque. This is a guy that I knew back in South Florida when I was getting the MMA show that I did on the ESPN property there started. He's a guy that came on the show, was good to me, and I love seeing him fight. I just think that we've seen the end of his career competing competitively in the UFC. So I think Gourinbo wins this fight via knockout.
Any other prelim fights you want to highlight before we move on to the main card?
Well, I mean, every fight is fantastic. Like I said, I'm looking like Brian Battle's on this card, and he's got his toughest test to date in Randy Rude Boy Brown. I think a small play might be considered on Cody Durden. Joshua Van is a big-time prospect in the flyweight division, and he looked good, you know, albeit in two rounds of three at UFC Noche, but Durden is just a fucking, you know, just an animal when it comes in there, and I love to see him fight. So him at plus money right now, I think Cody Durden worth a look.
All right, let's go to our main card here. This main card kicks off, which could be a pretty explosive fight here in the featherweight division. You've got Nate Landwehr, who's minus 140, the favorite here, against Duho Choi. Choi is plus 110, the underdog. Right now, Nate Landwehr has gone, won four of his last five, all but one of those victories inside the distance. And then you've got Duho Choi, who last beat Bill Algeo in a second-round finish. So this one starting off short odds here should be a good fight to kick off this pay-per-view.
It's going to be a war. It's going to be a war. A fantastic fight to open up the card. I think it's a situation where it's either, you know, Duho Choi really is now coming back into what I think he was determined and projected to be as a big-time prospect, but he had military service to uphold and being a Korean fighter, so he had to do that, kind of like stopped his mixed martial arts and UFC career. He came back off of that, had a majority draw in a fight that he won, but he had a point deducted against Kyle Nelson, and then he stopped Bill Algeo, who was a very tough fighter and a very similar fighter in my mind to Nate Landwehr. And Nate Landwehr's getting a lot of public money because he's always in war after war, comeback after comeback, brilliant fighter, combination of just toughness and takedowns. But I think Duho Choi is a tough matchup for him. Duho Choi's got power, which has caused issues for Nate Landwehr before. I think Duho Choi can rely on wrestling. He comes from that Team Alpha Male camp, which is always renowned for its wrestling and its wrestling coaching. So I'm actually very, very surprised that Duho Choi has remained the underdog. I think some sharp money will eventually come on him. But if you're listening to me to this today, I think Duho Choi is worth the look. Nate Landwehr's a good fighter. He's a competitive fighter, but he's not a highly talented skill fighter. I think Duho Choi possesses that. I like Duho Choi to win the fight.
All right. As a dog here, you're getting plus 110 there as the underdog. Just real quickly, method of victory. Landwehr by points is plus 280. Choi by knockout, plus 300. Landwehr by knockout, plus 360. And Choi by points, plus 500.
I think if you're on the Landwehr side, it's Landwehr to win via decision. I think if you're on Duho Choi, you don't need to get cute with the method of victory. Mm-hmm. You just take him to win the fight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, our next fight, we might have to get creative with this one because Bryce Mitchell is minus 800 to beat Kron Gracie here at plus 480, the underdog. This should be a very quick fight, maybe, is because we're going to try to find some value here. But Mitchell's lost two of his last three and hopes to get a successful return here to the UFC. And then Gracie, 36 years old, plus 480, the underdog, like I mentioned, but he ended his three-plus year hiatus, so he just came back to the UFC and fought Charles Jourdain. So this should be we're going to have to get creative here.
Yeah, fans are not happy with this fight. They don't understand why Kron Gracie is getting the shine and a pay-per-view of this caliber, final pay-per-view of the year, and getting a main card slot. Bryce Mitchell is definitely a popular fighter, you know, thug nasty, the camouflage shorts, very good submission guy, you know, gets you down and just, you know, submits you. 9 of his 16 wins have come via submission. He's never knocked anybody out. So if he doesn't submit you, he takes you down, just controls you. But, you know, we're talking about a guy in Bryce Mitchell that two of his last three fights has been brutally finished. Yes, it was his first loss is Ilya Topuria. We know now how talented that dude is. I mean, he's the champion of the world and might be for quite some time in the featherweight division. But the knockout that he suffered to Josh Emmett in his last fight over a year ago, December 16th of 2023, so literally it'll be almost a year since he last competed, one of the most brutal knockouts that I've ever seen. And it's scary to think even he's coming back off of that. Luckily, you know, he's not he's fighting a muscular dude, but Kron Gracie, you know, with that background, with that last name, you know, he's a grappler. He's mm-hmm. he's a submission artist. He's not known for his striking and known for his power. So I think this fight's going to the ground. I think both guys want to prove to themselves and prove to each other that they're the superior submission artist. So can we get creative here and say the fight ends via submission? Because I think there will be tremendous value in that.
Yeah.
Understanding that Kron Gracie's never been submitted, right, in his mixed martial arts career, and submitting a Gracie, like, that literally never happens. But that's how Bryce Mitchell typically wins fights. That's how I see the fight going. So, and I think it'd be boring just to say, you know, Mitchell to win this fight via decision. So let's get creative here and say that the fight ends via submission.
So that is plus 350 on FanDuel right now. Mitchell by points, to your question there, he's minus 170.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. Again, maybe Mitchell keeps competitively on the fight, you know, standing, and then has a couple of grappling exchanges where he takes advantage and takes him down. But I want to get creative. It's the final fight card of the year. I could see it happening. I think both of these guys, like, want to, again, prove themselves and prove something. And let's get Mitchell let's get the fight to end via submission, because I think if Mitchell wants to do what he wants to do, it could still be a recipe for disaster, because Kron Gracie is a savant when it comes to being on the ground.
Yeah, so just the fight to end by submission, doesn't matter who it is, plus 350.
Yep.
That's a good one. All right, I like that. All right, our next fight, again, we might have to get creative. Ciryl Gane against Alexander Volkov. Gane the minus 410, the favorite. Volkov plus 290, the underdog. Gane comes back for the first time since September of 2023, so over a year hiatus. He's 2-2 in his last four fights. Volkov comes on a four-fight winning streak, getting stoppage wins over Jarzinho Rosenstrike, Alexander Romanov, Tai Tuivasa, and then Sergey Pavlov last time out in Saudi Arabia. So he's beaten some good dudes. He's beating some good dudes, and this should be a good fight, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I'm actually surprised that the odds are not closer than what they should. I think Volkov's going to have the advantage. Obviously, you know, physically, from a reach standpoint, the boxing, yeah, maybe Surrogan with his footwork, his speed, has definitely caused some issues, you know, before. The grappling, like if Gon gets, you know, gets control, gets top mount position, you know, Volkov's going to struggle to get up. He has been submitted. He's been stopped by TKO before. But I just think that they're on different paths. I think Volkov's even as many fights as he's had in the heavyweight division is better than when they last fought, which was you know, in a unanimous decision victory for Ciryl Gane in a 5-round fight.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that part. This is technically a rematch, right? 3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. June of 2021. I still questioned Ciryl Gane. I mean, he was a deer in headlights and lost to John Jones 2 fights ago. Yes, he bounced back and got Sergei Spivak out of there, but Spivak is, you know, he's known as the polar bear for a reason. Kind of moves like a you know, glacier. What's it? What did the Titanic run into? An iceberg.
An iceberg.
Yeah, there we go. Like he moves like that.
What did the Titanic run into? A polar bear. A polar bear took down the Titanic, Jordan. Yeah,
exactly. I was in the winter theme, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
One of those Coca-Cola polar bears took down the Titanic. That's where they started.
Exactly. I think Volkov wins the fight. I think Volkov.
Wow.
You know, I'm on. Yeah, I'm feeling like a lot of these underdogs are the way to go. I just I understand.
You want to end the year with plus money? I feel
plus
like.
Money.
You're throwing out some haymakers.
We're stretching.
You're throwing
here.
Up some shots, man.
We're stretching here. But look, I think just Alexander Volkov is the better fighter, and I think I think he'd be comfortable in a kickboxing. I think he's got the power advantage, and I don't think that Sergan's grappling is world beater grappling. So I feel like Volkov is the way to go.
All right, well, for blanks and giggles here, Ciryl Gane by points -135, Gane by knockout +400, Volkov by points +490, Volkov by knockout 10-1. Ciryl Gane by submission 12-1, and Volkov by submission 29-1.
I mean, you know what? The Gane submission one, if you're on the Gane side, might be worth it because I think Gane might.
12-1.
Yeah, might. Well, again, he might not want to contest this fight on the feet.
Mm-hmm.
He might want to get this fight to the ground. He's very good at top control. Volkov has struggled to get up before he's been submitted. So Gane looking for like an armbar, a Kimura, and gets Volkov out of there.
All right. We will put that down as another dog pick. I love it. I love it. Going with the dogs here to end the year. Technically not the end of the year, but the last pay-per-view of the year. Okay. I am looking more forward to the next fight than the main event.
Sure.
This fight, I think, I mean, you've got 18-0 against 17-0. Like, you've got two guys that haven't lost a fight in the UFC in their careers to go against each other here. Shavkat Rakhmonov, the winner will face Bilal Muhammad coming up whenever. He's training now, so maybe in a few months here, whenever they announce some other pay-per-views coming up. Shavkat Rakhmonov -410 on the money line. Ian Machado Gary +290 on the money line. I mean, here's the thing. Rakhmonov, everyone, never gone the distance. Gary, not the same, but, you know, a lot of those fights get finished. So I would say this is going to be a great fight.
Yeah, I'm super. I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks on the podcast when Bilal Muhammad had to pull out of the fight. I wanted Rakhmonov to remain on the card. I wanted him to have a high-profile fight, an interim title, a number one contender fight. The actual title, I don't give a fuck. I just wanted him to be on. I just wanted him to be on the card, and he is. Shavkat Rakhmonov is a special. Special talent, 18 wins, all finishes, 10 submissions, 8 knockouts. He's an equal opportunist, and every challenge that's been put in front of him, you know, he's succeeded. They question his ability to not only defeat a Neil Magny, but finish him, and he did. And the Jeff Neal power puncher, submitted him. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, you know, just choked him out of there. So I'm super excited to see what Rakhmonov now is going to do against a guy that's undefeated in Ian Machado Gary and has lived up to every, you know, challenge that's been put in front of him. I mean, Machado Gary, Mike Borso being known for the point fighter, and obviously I think that comes to fruition with his victory over Michael Page, but, you know, victories over, again, the same fighters. Jeff Neal, but it was a decision. Neil Magny, it was a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not finishing the higher profile guys like Rakhmonov has. I asked this question, and there's going to be a pause because I think the pause equates to like the answer. How does Ian Machado Gary win this fight? how? Does he outpoint Rachmaninoff?
Yeah, like, here's how it is. You have to hope that he, when he gets on the ground, because Rachmaninoff is going to try to go for the submission, that he is not submitted, and that he can land enough punches before going down that the amount of control time doesn't matter.
But okay, fine.
That's how he wins,
control,
right?
Control time, and then the defense, because he, like, you know, again, talking Belal Muhammad. Belal Muhammad is a controlled grappler.
Yeah.
Like, Rachmaninoff is looking to
finish,
kill you.
Yeah, like, he's looking to snap your arm or leg or whatever
exactly,
he gets a hold
or choke
of.
Choke you out. So, so can Ian Machado, Gary, fine. Keep the fight standing, because Rachmaninoff is going to go for takedowns.
Mm-hmm.
Win on the feet, which I think is not a necessarily like immediate answer, yes. And then when the fight goes to the ground, not only get back up to his feet, but prevent the submissions from or the finishes from happening.
Mm-hmm.
That is a long list of asks and preferred answers of yes if you're on the Ian Machado Gary side, which is why the odds dictate that the way that they currently are. However, I want to get creative. We're final fight card of the year.
Yeah.
So I think obviously an O is going to go. We're not going to get a draw here. Okay, you know, no contest, whatever. Not going down that path. So someone's O is definitely going to go.
Yeah.
The other O that's going to go is the Rachmaninoff finishing rate. I'm going to have faith in enough that Ian Machado Gary survives.
Wow.
But we're talking a 4-round, 5-round, dominant, unanimous decision win for Shokhov Rachmaninoff, and he's going to fight Belal Muhammad come the summer.
Okay, December?
No, the summer.
Oh, the summer. Okay, the summer. I was like, a year. Okay. Okay, so Shokhov Rachmaninoff, excuse me, by points is plus 320. That is the highest odds for Rachmaninoff. You can get him by submission at plus 190, and by knockout at plus 280, and by points at plus 320. Gary, and I'm not reading those out of order. Gary is plus 650 by knockout. Gary by points is plus 700, and by submission is 30-1.
Well, yeah, that ain't happening.
So you're going Rachmaninoff by points.
Yeah, as opposed to Rachmaninoff inside the distance, which I'm seeing two books offer at $1.35 at $1.50. So they think Rachmaninoff is going to win the fight and win it inside the distance.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have faith that Ian Machado Gary is good enough, talented enough that he's going to survive. But again, it is a 5-round fight, so that is a huge, huge ask to do against a guy that just finishes everybody.
Oh, Jordan. I hate to do this to you, buddy.
Prop of the night!
My prop of the night. Shavkat Rachmaninoff by submission, plus 190.
Okay.
I agree with you. He gets him on the ground. I just think that at a certain point, he's going to get a hold of something and
not let go.
And Gary's not going to be able to withstand it. Whether it's a choke, whether it's an arm, a leg, whatever, it might not be in the first or second round. It might come late, like you said, but eventually he will wear down and tap. And so I'm going to go, like, I agree with you that that's how it's going to end. Like, it's going to end with, you know, either it's going to be very boring where it's just a lot of control, or you're going to get a tap at some point.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to mess with which round, because I think that there's too many variables with that. So I'm simply going to go prop of the night, Shavkat Rachmaninoff by submission plus 1.
And I'm not going to discriminate that. You know, look, lately that's how he's been finishing guys. He's been subbing them. He probably doesn't want to mess around too much with Ian Machado Gary on the feet, so he's going to look for those takedowns and control and snatch an arm, grab the neck. So I don't hate it. I don't hate the prop of the night. I love the prop of the night from Adam Abdallah, so go with that there.
All right, our main event in the flyweight title is on the line. Alexander Pantoja, minus 280, against Kai Asakura, plus 210. I don't know anything about Kai Asakura other than he is 21-4, and he's fought a couple UFC guys, but this is a fairly newer addition to the UFC roster. Am I not mistaken?
He's making his UFC debut.
Yeah. But he's fought Manel Kopp before. So, like, he's fought UFC guys before, but he's making his UFC debut in a title shot.
In a title shot.
Now, he is a significant underdog, plus 210. Not significant, but plus 210 is a pretty big underdog here. And then 34-year-old champion is on a six-fight winning streak, Alexander Pantoja. He's defended his title against twice already against Brandon Royval and Steve Ercig last time out.
Yeah, I mean, and he's looked good. I think Pantoja is the best fighter at 125 pounds. The thing about Asakura is, yes, champion in Ryzen. That's a renowned, you know, promotion in Japan. Has a lot of high-profile fighters, has a lot of high-profile fights. There's obviously also a reason why the UFC feels comfortable inserting this guy into the main event, immediately making his UFC debut. I'm glad you mentioned the UFC talent that he's faced, not only Manel Kopp, but Oka Sasaki and Haraguchi is another guy, too, that I would point to as UFC talent. And only 3-2-1 in those fights. And in the Manel Kopp fight, split decision win over Manel Kopp. And a knockout loss to Manel Kopp. And the split decision loss, he got knocked down in the first round. This is a guy that is a prolific striker. He's got a lot of flying knees, a lot of flying elbows, soccer kicks. Got to know that, too, Ooh. Because they allow that in Ryzen. Obviously, they don't use that in the UFC. But this is a guy that is an explosive fighter and a guy that I think stylistically it'll be a good matchup for him against Pantoja because Pantoja is a bat out of hell, goes to war, walks through fire to try and, you know, submit you, take your back, get you down. And that's where I'm going. I think, yes, this will be a nice fight, a good matchup for him, but I think certainly styles make fights, but there's a caliber of talent, and I think Pantoja is a special type of fighter. We saw that on display against Royval, his toughness against Royval, the toughness against Brandon Moreno. So I think at some point in this fight, Alexander Pantoja is going to get the back of Asakura, and he's going to submit the Japanese import in his UFC debut.
Okay, so that I was going to say, because I'm not laying minus 280. Maybe we put him in the parlay as minus 280. But I'm not going to lay minus 280 as a play. So Pantoja by submission plus 190, Pantoja by points plus 310, Asakura by knockout plus 360, Pantoja by knockout plus 440.
Yeah, I think it's that and probably also the under at 4.5. I didn't see what but I think we're getting a finish. I don't think we're going to get five rounds between these two guys. I think that, yeah, well, 225 is certainly so. Let's go under 3.5 at $1.52. We're going to get an early finish in this fight.
Okay.
The flyweights.
All right. So our picks for this fight, and just the main card, because we went real quick through the prelims here. Duho Choi plus 110 on the money line. Gracie Mitchell to end in a submission. Doesn't matter who, just to end in a submission, plus 350. Alexander Volkov, plus 290 money line. Rakhmonov by points at plus 320. That's your pick. Pantoja by submission at plus 190.
I'm sure we identify that, yeah.
And under 3.5. And my prop of the night is Rakhmonov by submission at plus 190. I'm not going to feel bad if you win. I'm not going to feel bad if I win. So, but with the Rakhmonov thing. So maybe a little sprinkle on both.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I mean, that's how you have to treat the final fight
absolutely.
Of the year, the final pay-per-view of the year.
We got to build a parlay here.
So
I'm going to put Pantoja and Rakhmonov.
I think you got to... Oh, he's minus 800. Put Bryce Mitchell in there.
Let's see how much that does. I guess so. Okay, Bryce Mitchell's in there.
Garimbo.
Hold on, let me go back. Prelims. Garimbo. Where are you, Garimbo? Okay.
And let's go with Max Griffin over Michael Chiesa. Dower 7.
Oh, early prelims. Okay. Yeah. Hold on, I got to find this now.
We got to get some value. Got to pump it up a little bit.
I don't know if Max Griffin. There we go. Minus 125. Okay, so this is a... This is a five-fight... parlay. Yes. Max Griffin, Themba Garimbo, Bryce Mitchell, Shafkat Rakhmonov, and Alexander Pantoja.
What's it going to pay?
Plus 440.
Okay. Fine.
All right.
That's fine.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
So a lot of people looking at me right now. There's a huge bus of people.
I told you, dude.
Huge bus of people.
I told you. It's even worse when the lights are on. You've got the lights off in there. It's even worse.
Right now.
We are in our State Street studio, and we're using this to record because the guys right now, Waddle and Sylvie, are upstairs, and now you get the full experience of what
this
it's
is great.
Like.
Can I come back and do this tomorrow?
I mean, if you want to, we can start recording down here every week if you want to.
Nah, it wouldn't be fun for you.
Oh, it's fine for me. I don't mind it. I'm used to being in the window.
That's true. You are in your producer's chair.
Yeah, exactly. So next week we do have a fight card here. We've got UFC Fight Night, Covington against Buckley here. And we know how it goes, anybody but Kobe Covington. So we hope that Joaquin Buckley is minus 245. This is a decent card to end the year. You've got Amanda Ribas here. And then
No, you don't. They pulled that fight off. It's news like yesterday.
Oh, it's still on ESPN.com.
Yeah, they pulled that fight out to headline the UFC's first card of the year on January 11th.
All right. It's still on ESPN.com. I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm just telling you. So then Cub Swanson and Billy Q are now the co-main events.
Mental Cop, who we just talked about a little bit earlier, Bruno Silva. Dustin Jacoby's on this fight or this card, and that's kind of it.
Well, Joel Alvarez, him.
Okay, all right.
Michael Johnson, he's always fun.
A guy who's
Dustin
named
Jacoby, friend of the show.
Dustin Jacoby,
friend of the show.
A guy who's named after a cologne, Dracar Close.
Yes.
I might have to bet.
He's not named after the cologne.
You don't think that he's named after Dracar Noir?
Maybe.
You don't think that that's led to his...
Can we have him on the show? I think he's buddies. I think he's Chicago guy.
He really?
I think so.
Hold on. Let's look. This is riveting for everybody.
This is
going to
be bad
right
now. The
first thing that comes up is Dracar Noir, just so you know.
When I'm wrong.
Dracar Close is from, hold on, Ultimate Fighting Championship, born in South Haven, Michigan. He fights out of Glendale, Arizona. Yeah, he's from
Michigan.
Calum, Michigan.
Okay, Michigan. Okay, that's what I
close enough.
Close enough.
Close enough. I guarantee you he's 36. How long has Dracar Noir been around?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm 43, and I was wearing it to bar mitzvahs, so.
Okay, there you go. I mean, let's see, Dracar Noir in 1982. Okay, so maybe, yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
Kind of right there?
I think he, listen, I'm not saying.
Let's get him on the show and ask him.
I am not asking a fighter a question about his name.
Over the phone?
They know where we are. It's a very public place.
Well,
I don't
they
need
know where I am.
Life.
I'm standing in front of the public here.
That's fine. I guess I'll just call Bilal. How big is Dracar? What weight class is he in?
He's a lightweight.
Okay, yeah. All right. Bilal can have my back in this one.
When we get it, let's get Bilal on the show.
We will. Before the next fight, now that he's back healthy and training, we absolutely will blow a call into Bilal Muhammad. He's Jordan Sherwood. Get all of his picks, fatjacksports.com. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we will be back next week for maybe our final, maybe not. We'll figure it out then. If studios are working, we'll see how it goes. On the Unnamed MMA podcast. Thanks for listening.